Good morning, everybody. Hope you're ready to hear from the most organic guy around. Here he is, landscape architect, arborist, author, columnist for the Dallas Morning News, and my dad, the dirt doctor, Howard Garrett.
Thank you, Logan, and welcome, everybody. Call me if you would like at the following number. This is to be on the show with me. To chat, ask questions, complain, whatever you want to do. 866-444-DIRT, which is 3478. 1-866-444-3478. We've been talking about the Oz column in Time magazine, which is such a goofy thing. There's at least some attempt to try to get me on the show to debate all this stuff because I totally agree with almost nothing he says in there. And it seems to be a big change that he used to recommend a lot of healthy and organic things. I don't listen to the show. I tend to be working during that time of day. But if they do have an interest in discussing it from the standpoint of how to do a natural organic program that is cost-effective and works, and you know what all the issues are on our side of the aisle, I'll be glad to talk. But it's like some of the callers today have suggested, it may be that the big companies with the money or the influence there. I wish that wasn't the case, but it may be. Open line at 866-444-3478. This hour brought to you by the Texas Organic Research Center. It's the nonprofit organization that we have that collects and disseminates data on this natural organic approach. The first thing that we did was try to gather up all the data that was already out there. There was some research that we found on things like diatomaceous earth and beneficial nematodes and things like that, where it was apparent that chemical companies had done some research, apparently trying to come up with a negative, trying to prove something bad, and that didn't happen, and so it just got kind of shoved to the side. And we know for a fact that that happened at least once with looking at beneficial nematodes. We know that it happened for sure with diatomaceous earth. There was one study that tried to prove that diatomaceous earth used around the soil and around plants and all would kill earthworms, and it proved to be totally not the case. Once DE is moist, it's beneficial to the soil and soil organisms. And then the most interesting one, the most recent one, and we were involved in it, was some research done down at Prairie View A&M in Texas. And it was some research feeding goats and their kids, pregnant goats and goats with young kids, diatomaceous earth. And in the study, and I think part of the financing was from the Ivermectin companies, and the idea was to see if DE as an amendment in the food of these animals would work as a natural wormer anywhere near as well as the toxic chemicals. Well, it didn't work out very well for the chemical people. The DE proved to work, which we knew it would. There was an abstract that I think they accidentally let get out, and we have it. It's on the website. It's on dirtdoctor.com. In the library and in the research area, talking about the fact that it worked as well as the toxic chemical. When I talked to the people at Prairie View A&M about when the final report was going to be done, the very nice lady there said that she said, "Howard, I just don't think there's any interest in that." That's an answer I've got quite a bit when I look into why a university has quit studying certain things or quit doing certain kinds of organic-oriented work. It's fairly common that the interest wanes when it appears that the organic things work as well as we have been saying. Texas Organic Research Center, you can learn more about it on our website on dirtdoctor.com. And there's an open line at 866-444-3478. Here's Don in Grapeland. Hey, Don.
Hello.
How you doing?
Oh, fine. Howard, I thought I had to wait another time. I'm fixing a spring garden. I've got all the grass and weeds scraped off, and I think I want to put down corn gluten meal. And how long do I have to wait after I put that down before I can plant the seeds?
No, that's a good question, and I don't think there's a definite answer, Don. And soil that has been organic for a while and is rich in beneficial microorganisms, all the bacteria and fungi and protozoa and beneficial nematodes and everything that's in there, I think that that herbicidal power of the corn gluten meal will break down very fast, very quickly. What that exact timing is, I don't have any idea. I don't know that anybody's ever done a study on it to see.
I mean, like a month or two would be okay?
I think if you waited a month to 6 weeks, the chances would be good in your favor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can I put down dry molasses and Garrett juice at the same time I put down the corn gluten meal?
Yeah, I think it would be fine. The corn gluten meal works the best right on the surface of the soil, though. So if you're going to do different products there about at the same time, do the liquids first.
The dry molasses and the Garrett juice.
Well, the dry molasses, and go ahead and work those things in, and then put the corn gluten meal down as the last application and leave it pretty much on the surface. That's where it's going to do the most good with this herbicidal control that it
has. Okay, okay.
Right.
One last question. I've got a bag of 2100. Can I dilute that with water to make it better to use?
Well, that's sulfur, what do you call it?
High nitrogen, I know.
Ammonium sulfate, couldn't think of the term. That's ammonium sulfate fertilizer. It's very powerful. It's very toxic. It's something that we certainly don't like to use, but if you used it a little bit at a time in the compost pile, that's probably the best way to get rid of it.
Okay, okay. That's great. What rate do I put down that corn gluten meal?
20 pounds per 1,000 square feet.
Thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you, Don.
Bye-bye.
It's ammonium sulfate is not as bad as ammonium nitrate or anhydrous ammonia or some of the others, but it is because of the sulfur part of it primarily, and it, like most synthetic fertilizers, has an acidifying effect, too much so. It is a salt, so you're building up the salt index in the soil, and it's certainly not anything that we would recommend. But if you're going to use synthetic fertilizers, the least problematic one is urea. It actually has a little carbon in it. It's the only synthetic fertilizer that does. And the second best would be ammonium sulfate, but it's not any good. It's not anything I would ever recommend. There are people that are recommending using it only, they're calling it a nitrogen-only fertilizer. Well, there's nothing you could come up with, hardly, that would foul up the beneficial life in the soil, and that's the key to the whole thing that we do here. We're trying to build this natural biological activity that would be in healthy soil, in the prairie, in the forest, in a natural growing situation, and it works best whether you're trying to grow herbs, vegetables, landscape things, or lawns, turf. So try to stay away from those kind of things, but if you've got to use them, urea is the best bad choice, and ammonium sulfate, I guess, is the second, and it's way down, second best bad choice. Open line exists for you at 866-444-3478. Here's Al in Dallas.
Good morning, Mr. Garrett.
Hi, Al.
I would like to request that you invite Jeffrey Smith on your show to be interviewed. He's the author of Seeds of Deception and Genetic Roulette. And if he appeared, I'm sure he would speak about a scientist, a man of astounding integrity named Arpad Pushtai, who was basically ordered to cook the books on his own research on GM food.
Mm-hmm.
And when he refused, a judge placed a gag order on him. And when the gag order was lifted, the British press descended upon his home to interview him, and 159 column inches of newsprint was published. And the result of that was that genetically modified food was completely banned in the United Kingdom and continues to be to this day.
Well,
and the European Union pays a fine of $150 million a year for refusing to admit GM food into it.
Well, I know Jeffrey. He's been on the show here already.
Oh, he has?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
it's
I'm sorry.
Been, it's been a year. So if you go into the website, dirtdoctor.com, and look at the past shows, you'll find his name there, and you can listen to the archive of when he was with me. And we'll try to get him back on again. Appreciate your call very much. He is an interesting guy. He writes for a bunch of different publications and is really into GMOs. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. I'll be back right after this.
Register today for Howard Garrett's Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. Howard is teaming up with other experts to present growing edible gardens, mosquito control that works, natural pet health, natural remedies for weeds, head lice, foot fungus, and insect bites, nutrition and health, and much more. There will be prize drawings throughout the event, so register today by going to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Healthy Living and Growing Seminar logo or call 866-444-3478. Register at dirtdoctor.com today and have a more successful 2013.
Hi, I'm Susie Cohen, author of The 24-Hour Pharmacist and Drug Muggers. I understand the value of medication, but in the process of helping, they can rob the body of many essential nutrients. I call them drug muggers because they spark side effects that are often diagnosed as a new disease. Every medication, whether over-the-counter or prescription, robs the body of beneficial bacteria. That's why I recommend probiotics for anyone taking medication and for good health in general. Bacterial balance is vital for healthy digestion, improved immunity and tip-top health. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics nurtures the garden of bacteria that is distinctive to your body. Backed by 25 years of research, Dr. O'Hara's exclusive formula uses living bacteria combined in a Japanese fermentation process that sets Dr. O'Hara's probiotics apart from all other brands.
Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference. Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shoppe, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
The Texas Organic Research Center is a nonprofit research institute focused on the effectiveness of natural organic approaches in gardening, landscape management, and agribusiness. TORC wants to show that organics work better than chemical approaches, saves money, and helps us to enjoy healthier lives. The Texas Organic Research Center can use your support. Your contribution is tax deductible. Go to dirtdoctor.com and click on the Texas Organic Research Center logo on the bottom of the homepage to find out more about TORC and how you can help. Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrett juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to dirtdoctor.com. Everyone is talking environmental issues and going green. Natural organic gardening and landscaping are important parts of this movement. Some organic proponents only say to stop using the chemicals. Howard Garrett, in the highly acclaimed Organic Manual, explains in detail what to do instead. His what to do is the organic method. He recommends stopping the use of toxic chemical pesticides and synthetic fertilizer, but goes on in great detail about the practical alternatives. This is one of the few gardening books effective for use coast to coast and border to border. The best kept secret of all, uncovered in the Organic Manual, is that the organic program is better in every way. Whether it's growing beautiful landscaping or delicious healthy food crops, the Organic Manual explains bed preparation, planting, pest control, and compost making. It also covers pet management and natural living advice. Purchase the Organic Manual in bookstores everywhere. Also available in independent garden centers, nurseries, hardware, and other fine stores. Go to dirtdoctor.com to purchase or to find a store near you.
Here are some myths and truths about healthy eating. Myth: vitamin B12 can be obtained from certain plant sources such as blue-green algae and soy products. Truth: vitamin B12 is not absorbed from plant sources. Modern soy products increase the body's need for B12. Myth: animal fats cause cancer and heart disease. Truth: animal fats contain many nutrients that protect against cancer and heart disease. Elevated rates of cancer and heart disease are associated with consumption of large amounts of processed vegetable oils. Myth: children benefit from a low-fat diet. Truth: children on low-fat diets suffer from growth problems, failure to thrive, and learning disabilities. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on living a healthier lifestyle and for finding great natural organic products.
Compost is nature's own living fertilizer and can be made at home or purchased ready to use. It can be started any time of the year in sun or shade, and anything once living, plant or animal, can and should go into the compost. The ingredients in your compost should be a mix of coarse and fine textured material to promote air circulation through the pile. Turn the pile as time allows to speed up the process. However, turning is not critical. Moisture is important. A compost pile should be roughly as wet as a squeezed out sponge to help the living organisms thrive and work their magic. Compost is ready to use as a soil amendment when the ingredients are no longer identifiable. The color is a dark brown, the texture is soft and crumbly, and the smell is pleasant like the forest floor. Rough, unfinished compost can be used as top dressing mulch around all plantings. Finished compost is used in potting soil and bed preparation. You can learn more about composting and natural organic gardening at DirtDoctor.com.
All righty, Howard, back with you. And open lines all of a sudden here, 866-444-DIRT, excuse me, which is 3478. One of the things that I do during the week is I do a commentary. It's longer. We get to spend more time, which is good because I can explain things a little bit better. They run, three times or so during the day every day. If you're on a radio, listening to a radio station somewhere that doesn't carry the commentaries, they can pick it up real easy. You can tell them about it. They can get information by contacting us through DirtDoctor.com. But one of the commentaries that I did this past week was talking about things that should be being done at this time of the year, and one of them is tree work. It's a great time so that you don't forget to do it, to start working on a couple of things. One is if there's any vines that are growing up on trees, get those vines off. Get them trimmed off completely. I used to say take the vines out of the top of trees because they interfere with photosynthesis and looks messy and all that, but I said it was okay to leave them on the trunk. And I've changed my mind on that dramatically because I think that vines or ground cover that vines up on the base of a tree, it can be as harmful to the tree as having soil or mulch up on the flare, keeping moisture there and building up soil and all that. So I not only recommend taking the vines out of tree tops, but getting the vines completely off of the trunks and taken back from about at least a foot out from the flare. And a couple of things happen there. One is that just makes the tree, the bark breathe better and the tree be in better health by itself. But you may discover that your trees are coming out of the ground like a telephone pole and too deep in the ground as a result of, you know, that appearance. That's what it's telling you. If there's not a real dramatic affair, flare exposed there, they're too deep in the ground. So you want to very carefully remove that soil and or mulch back from the tree. You can do it yourself. You can do it with stiff brushes. You can do it with hand tools if you're extremely careful. You can do it with a power washer with water if you're extremely careful. Those things can damage the wet bark that's been covered up. Best is to bring an arborist in and have an arborist do the work for you with an air spade, especially if you have some very important big trees and or a lot of trees. few trees, smaller trees. You can do it yourself. And brushes, stiff brushes, are one of the best ways to go. You have to brush the soil away a little at a time. You have to have it moist but not sopping wet for that to work. If the soil is dry, it won't work. The air spade won't work if the soil is dry. You have to have just enough moisture for that soil to become crumbly and be able to be pulled away. Really, really important thing for you to do for all your trees, fruit trees, ornamental trees, Japanese maples, you know, crepe myrtles, any kind of small trees, and then the big shade trees as well. The lowland trees, like green ash and pecan to a degree, and you know, birch and trees that grow in moist soil in lowland areas, can take having some soil up on their flares better than more highland established and developed trees. But even those lowland trees, and we've proven it with pecan trees and others, respond dramatically, powerfully to having the soil removed from the flares. And if you do it right now, it's an ideal time to do it. Anytime during the winter is great. But if you do it sooner the better, you'll actually have a situation where you've allowed the tree to start breathing properly through its bark, which it does, and then the root development during the winter is going to be much better, and in the spring it's going to take off like it's a different tree. You'll be amazed at how well it works, how much difference it makes in the growth. Just the vigor, the color, the appearance of the tree. If it's a flowering tree, how much better flowering will be. If it's a fruit-producing tree, how much better the fruit will be. And, by the way, how much it will affect the diseases and the insects. You'll have a dramatic lowering of any pressure from any pests that you've had in the past. If you haven't had any pests in the past, it won't change too much. The plant will just grow better. So, anyway, 866-444, that's just one of the many kinds of commentaries that we do. Along the same lines, it's a good time to get mistletoe out of plants and other parasites like that. And if you have those in your tree, it's a clear indication that the tree's in stress. And often the most common way to relieve the stress, or the most important way to relieve that common stress, common cause of stress, is to expose that trunk flare or root flare. Connie in Plano is next up. Hey, Connie.
Hi. I have a couple of questions. One about Orserb. I have that under my live oaks, and it looks like it has a fungus or something. It's kind of a bluish gray on some of it.
I doubt if it's a disease, Connie. If it is, there's a couple of simple things you could spray on it, and it would knock it out. The biowash would work. You could soak cornmeal in water and spray cornmeal juice on it. You could do the hydrogen peroxide with a little bit of orange oil like we talked about earlier and knock it out. But probably what it is just a little bit of freeze damage, a little bit of frost damage.
Well, actually, this surfaced this past summer in the heat.
Really?
Really?
Well, it may be a disease, but, boy, I've never seen it on there. Spray one of those things I mentioned, and if it is, you'll see it clear up right away. Let me put you on hold if you had something else. Horse herb is a good native ground cover. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor, I'll be right back.
With SRN News, I'm Michael Harrington in Washington. Heavy fog is delaying plans to start clearing a train derailment that caused a chemical spill and the evacuation of a 12-block area in Paulsboro, New Jersey. Officials say they're waiting for a safe time to try and pump vinyl chloride out of the damaged tanker. Treasury Secretary Timothy Geithner calls it normal political theater. White House Speaker John Boehner refers to it as nonsense. They're talking about negotiations trying to keep the country from going off the so-called fiscal cliff. The Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas has returned home to a hero's welcome. Abbas won a resounding endorsement for Palestinian independence at the United Nations. Some 5,000 people thronged a square outside the government headquarters. And the trial of an Army private charged with sending U.S. secrets to the website WikiLeaks is being pushed back a month to March. Military judge announcing the change this morning in the trial of Bradley Manning. This is SRN News.
Do you you have dark circles or puffy eyes? If you have dark circles under your eyes, bags, or puffiness, we're looking for you. Because right now, we're offering a risk-free trial of a fast-acting eye cream to listeners of this station. You heard right. Every listener who calls now can try a risk-free jar of Lumitone, the cream that fades dark circles from view in seconds. We only have a limited supply of risk-free jars, so don't wait. For details, just call 1-800-487-9263. Lumitone makes dark circles less visible in seconds. Watch your dark circles fade from view like magic. And Lumitone is great for puffiness, bags, and fine lines by the eyes. This risk-free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Call us now for details on this Lumitone risk-free offer. Just call 1-800-487-9263. That's 1-800-487-9263. Call 1-800-487-9263.
With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss. It was an SEC championship game for the ages as second-ranked Alabama held on at the end for an exciting 32-28 win over third-ranked Georgia. There were five lead changes in the game. After the Tide scored on a 45-yard touchdown pass with 3:15 left, the Bulldogs drove down to Bama's four-yard line, but their last pass was tipped at the line and caught by Chris Conley, who slipped down at the five. The clock then ran out on a frustrated Georgia quarterback, Aaron Murray.
I think a little tougher right now to know that was right there, you know, that we had the lead late in the game and then to give it away and then drive all the way down the field 85 yards to, you know, have a chance to win it. It stinks. It definitely stinks, but you got to move on.
Alabama ran for an SEC title game record 350 yards. It'll be a dream matchup between two of college football's most storied programs, the BCS title game January 7th in Miami between Alabama and top-ranked Notre Dame. The Tide and Irish have each won eight Associated Press national titles, more than any other school. This is SRN Sports. Seventh-ranked Kansas State beat number 23 Texas 42-24. The 11-1 Wildcats won a trip to the Fiesta Bowl. It was 12th-ranked Oklahoma 24, TCU 17. The 10-2 Sooners share the Big 12 title with K-State. Number 13 Florida State held off Georgia Tech 21-15 to capture its first ACC title since 2005 and earn a trip to the Orange Bowl. Seminoles coach Jimbo Fisher says winning the conference title could be a stepping stone for his program.
You got to win a conference championship before you go win a national championship and keep getting in that hunt. But now our kids understand what it takes, how hard it is, and hopefully it'll transform into the offseason into our young guys, and we can keep that culture around here like it used to be.
Wisconsin crushed Nebraska 70-31 to win their third straight Big Ten title despite an 8-5 record. It was Oregon State downing Nicholls State 77-3. Baylor upset number 24 Oklahoma State 41-34, and number 25 Boise State beat Nevada 27-21. That gives the Broncos a share of the Mountain West Conference title. With SRN Sports, I'm Patrick Foss.
All righty, Howard Garrett back with you in an open line. A couple, as a matter of fact, at 866-444-3478. One more time about our Healthy Living and Growing Seminar. It's going to be a big one, and looking forward to visiting with everybody, either in person. We'll be out there. It's going to be in Allen, Texas, just north of Dallas, Texas, for those of you in other parts of the country might be interested in coming in. But it also will be a live web broadcast as well for anybody, and we're having people from all across the country sign up for this thing. All you have to do to be a part of it is be a member of the Organic Club of America. You can join right online on dirtdoctor.com, and it's easy to do, doesn't cost very much, and has a lot of other benefits besides this event. But we're going to have several people coming in and being with me to speak, and kind of an informal thing. I'm going to speak on a couple of basic topics and bring people up to date on some of the latest things that we've been involved in as far as programs and products and things like that, and talk about some specific pest control issues and all that. But we're also going to have Amanda Love there talking about food and nutrition. She's the Barefoot Gardener, been she's been involved in our website for some time, the health and nutrition part of the website. She's been on the show. You may have heard her several times, as has Marty Whitick, and Marty's going to be with us out there talking about nutrition and health as well, and the Dr. O'Hara's products and the things that you hear me talk about there quite a bit. But we're also going to have some of the guys that are actually in the field doing stuff. Hopefully Tony Manasseri, I haven't talked to Tony yet, but having Tony and others that are actual organic growers there to meet with people and give some presentations. Tropical John, I'm going to get him to talk specifically, among other things, about the spray rig and spray program that he's gotten going. And we've been playing around very successfully so far, I might add, with some new mosquito control techniques. And we'll have some arborists there, some experts talking about what I just went through, the root flare exposure and other related kinds of things. We're going to have people there talking about snakes and birds and all sorts of things. It goes from 10 o'clock in the morning to about 3 in the afternoon, I think, and you can attend in person or online, like I said, joining the Organic Club of America is the only thing you have to do, and it doesn't cost much at all. Go to dirtdoctor.com for information there. And let's see, what else did we need to catch up on while we're waiting for people to jump on board here? The number again, 866-444-3478. Some people have been asking about, and I did one of those commentaries about Christmas trees. There's always a little bit of conversation about Christmas trees when we get into this part of the year. Some people still think that Christmas trees that are cut are an environmental issue. They're not at all. They're a crop. They're grown to be cut for Christmas trees. And depending on where you are in the country, there's different varieties that are the most popular. I guess the Fraser fir is probably one of the most common across the country. It's what we just got, as a matter of fact, for our house, and Logan got one as well. The noble fir is another very popular one. Virginia pine is pretty popular. The living trees that you buy and then later plant outside, it's an interesting way to go. If you need some trees, if you're like me and already have too many trees, it's not a very good way to go, because you're going to pay as much or more for the tree and then have something that you don't really have a good place to put. There are some trees that are being sold as living Christmas trees to plant outside after the holidays that really aren't very good choices, and you need to be careful about that. Virginia pine, for example, not very well adapted here and in some other areas. Elderica pine is sold for that purpose quite a bit, and it's not a good choice at all if you have high rainfall at all, or if you like to water very much. It's a desert tree and has gotten in a lot of trouble. A lot of those trees have died out by people planting in areas where the soil stays too moist or people overwater. One of the small trees that I recommend to everybody across the board, because you can do this as a supplemental kind of a Christmas tree, even if you have a big one that you use that's one of these other ones, rosemary makes a really good small tree, and they're available out there that have been trimmed up into Christmas tree shapes, or you can just get a regular shaped rosemary, really pretty and fragrant for the holidays, and then planted outside. I think it's a really good choice. And if you, I guess I better back up for a minute. If you want to plant through the South, depending on whether you live in sandy acid soils, if you live in sandy acid soils, you can use any of the pine trees pretty much, or a big long list of them. If you live in a place like here, the Dallas-Fort Worth area, or other similar places where it's black and white alkaline soil, or any kind of alkaline soil, best choice for you there would be a little tree called Italian stone pine. And it's interesting. It's a fascinating little tree, because when you buy it to use as a Christmas tree, it will look completely different than what it will look like a year or two after you've planted it out in the yard. And I haven't totally figured it out. I need to talk to some of the growers about what they do to cause this situation. But when you buy it from the nursery, and they're available generally from little trees that are a foot to 18 inches tall to some that are 4, 5, 6 feet tall. They have very short little needles, and they're kind of a blue-green, kind of a real pretty light, medium blue-green color. And you plant the Italian stone pine after the holidays. And by the way, you want to put it in the house as close to Christmas as possible. And then immediately after the, what I usually say, the presents are unwrapped and you're cleaning up, move it out as quickly as you can. In other words, have it, any choice of living tree that you choose, have it in the house as short a period of time as possible. Get it outside and plant it. Keep it moist, you know, not dry out and desiccate while it's inside. But the Italian stone pine, once it's outside and starts growing, and this will happen the very first year, it develops needles that are 2 to 3 times longer, maybe even 4 times longer than it is when you bought it at the nursery, and they change color. They change from a blue-green to a real medium to dark, rich, deeper green without a blue cast to it at all. Now, do the growers, maybe there's some growers listening that can fill us in on this. Do the growers do something with growth repellents or growth chemicals to keep a compact look for developing the tree into this Christmas tree look? Or is it just a natural phenomenon, something I should already know, and I don't? I've brought it up a couple of times, and I've never spent time looking into why it changes as much as it it does. And then the other bit of advice that I usually put in these commentaries, and I don't know if I did in this last one or not, is what to do after the holidays, after the tree is, the ornaments are taken off and the tree's taken down. What I normally do, even though I know in most cases the tree's been grown with less than organic techniques, I'll chop the tree up and use it in an area that's eroding or something like that as a real heavy textured mulch. It can be ground up into a finer texture than that and used as a very pleasant smelling top dressing mulch. Some of the fishermen tell me that they will put it in the water in ponds and lakes to help develop a little habitat for fish. I suppose that's okay. It's certainly done quite a bit. The worst two things that you can do, number one worst thing you can do is put it on the curb and let it be picked up to take to the landfills. Now, a lot of the cities will be doing the right thing of grinding them up and making mulch and making that mulch available to the people of the city or whoever is doing it. But the very worst thing you can do is get these plastic bags that slip over the tree and put it out on the curb that way. Because in that case, even if they try to do the right thing and grind it up, you're going to have a combination of ground up tree and ground up plastic. So please don't do that. I'd rather you not put it out on the curb at all, but take it to a recycle place. A lot of these cities around, I'm pretty sure Dallas and Fort Worth and the surrounding cities for the most part have some kind of collection places. Some of the landscape contractors and some of the nurseries get involved in doing that. That's a pretty decent way to recycle the trees, and they'll turn them into mulch or whatever they do to them. By the way, there is one other thing I should mention that a lot of people do with leaves as well that's a terrible thing to do, and that's burn the trees. Burning the trees and burning leaves is really, really a bad thing. And we used to do it. We used to do it when I was a kid, and I kind of liked it, and I guess that's why it's stayed around. The fragrance, the, you know, playing around with all that stuff, you know, a lot of people like to do, but it's dangerous. It pollutes the air with the smoke, and you burn up a valuable tool when you are burning up leaves. Same way with trees as well. If you can grind them up, and the leaves are easy because you can do it with the lawnmower. Grind it up and mulch those leaves into the turf. If you have more than you need, you can rake that material up and throw it into beds as a mulch. You can put it into the compost pile. And by the way, speaking of compost piles, I need to make a note of that. I need to do a commentary about compost piles because it reminded me the other day we turned ours. The compost container that I have, if you're interested in having a container, if you have a limited place, and I do it just to experiment with stuff. I have a great big huge compost area that goes along the entire back of my property as the hill falls down into the bamboo, which we're working on back there to prevent erosion. But if you want a container, the best one on the market is called the Shepherd container. It's a real heavy steel. It's square. It's 4 feet by 4 feet by 3 feet tall. And to turn it, you simply lift it up, and the material stays there. You put the container over here, and you throw it into the new location. That's all you do. Howard Garrett, the Dirt Doctor. More on this and more after this. Well, you've heard me talk about the dog food company up near the Red River in Munster, Texas for some time now, and you're going to continue to because it's the best on the market. My dogs are proof. Hannah, Carmen, and Tater wouldn't eat any other dog food. They might, but I'd have to soup it up with something that tastes really good. This dog food tastes great, and it's really good for them. There are no toxic preservatives in the product and some very high-quality ingredients, including prebiotics and L-carnitine. One of the things I've noticed with my dogs eating Munster Natural is that they don't have any hip or joint problems, hardly ever, and that goes way back to many dogs that have eaten the Munster Natural. If your pet food store doesn't stock Munster Natural, ask them to contact Munster Milling at their website, munstermilling.com, about how to get the product into the stores and make the customers happy, mainly making all the pets happy. There's Munster Natural dog food and Munster Natural cat food. Again, that website is munstermilling.com.
Believe it or not, weight management is more than simply calories in versus calories out. To achieve your ideal weight, your digestive system must function effectively. I'm Dr. Fred Pescatore, author of The Hamptons Diet and science advisor for Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics. Research has found that there are regulating factors that control absorption of calories and whether they are stored as fat. One of the most significant influences in our ability to keep fat off is having the proper amounts of beneficial bacteria in our GI tracts. These friendly bacteria help in regulating blood sugar and normalizing our appetite. I recommend taking Dr. O'Hara's Probiotics every day due to its carefully selected strains of live beneficial bacteria that work synergistically to maximize health, increase energy through better absorption of nutrients, and help with weight management. Backed by over 25 years of scientific research, I believe that Dr. O'Hara's probiotic is the most powerful and effective probiotic available today. Discover the Dr. O'Hara difference.
Dr. O'Hara's probiotics are available at Vitamin Shop, Whole Foods, Sprouts, and other fine health food stores nationwide.
It is not uncommon for the air inside a home or office to be more toxic than the air outside. This is because of the presence of toxic materials that outgas and the fact that homes and buildings are better sealed and insulated than ever before. Keeping windows open as often as possible allows fresh air in and keeps toxins flowing out. This is especially important when cleaning your home. Skip the store-bought air fresheners and instead try boiling cinnamon, cloves, or any other pleasant herbs. Also, plants may not make your house smell different, but are good for filtering contaminated interior air. Natural organic cleaning products are now on the market and are competing for that spot under your sink. They are non-toxic and they do not put off toxic gases. Visit HowardGarrett.com for more information on how to live a healthier lifestyle and to find great products for your home that work well and don't contaminate the air.
Roses are our best medicinal and culinary herbs. They should be grown organically because when roses are loaded with toxic pesticides and other chemicals, the natural benefits of roses are squandered. Rosehip tea or using rose petals in teas or salads is a good idea if the plants haven't been sprayed with synthetic poisons. For the best results with roses, plant well-adapted roses for your area. Roses on their own roots are often the best choices. Planting, watering, and feeding instructions for roses can be found on the homepage of DirtDoctor.com. Click on Organic Guides and look for the Organic Rose Program. For disease control in general, spray roses with Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash or garlic pepper tea. For insect pests, spray essential oil products, Garrot Juice Plus and BioWash. Dust if necessary with natural diatomaceous earth. For thrips, apply beneficial nematodes to the soil in early spring or when foliage begins to grow. To learn more about growing roses the natural way, go to DirtDoctor.com.
Without good health, little else matters. Good health affects weight, skin quality, teeth, hearing, eyesight, and enjoyment of life. It also affects your energy, controls your allergy sensitivities, and helps prevent the degenerative diseases like diabetes, arthritis, heart disease, Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, MS, and cancer. Here are a few ideas on living a more healthy life. Drink water from glass or stainless steel rather than from plastic bottles. Plastic, especially the soft plastic bottles, outgasses contaminants that accumulate in the body and negatively affect your health. Eat food that is grown or raised naturally and prepared with little or no processing or toxic chemicals. Exercise regularly. Walk or do more vigorous exercise on a regular basis. Work out with a partner or join a yoga, fitness, or martial arts class. Visit HowardGarrett.com today for more information and products to help you live a healthier lifestyle.
Trees become infested with insect pests and diseases when they are in stress and sick. That's when Mother Nature sends in the cleanup crews. Insects and disease pathogens are simply just doing their jobs, trying to take out unfit plants. More plant sickness is environmental. Too much water, maybe not enough water, too much fertilizer, or maybe the wrong kind of fertilizer. Other culprits include toxic chemical pesticides, compaction of soil, and grade changes. There could also be ill-adapted plant varieties, overplanting single plant species and creating monocultures, as was done with American elms in the Northeast. The Dirt Doctor's Tree Health Plan is simple. Keep trees in stress-free condition so their immune systems can resist insect pests and diseases. The sick tree treatment is basically stop using high nitrogen fertilizers and toxic pesticides. Remove excess soil from the root flares, aerate the root zone heavily, apply organic amendments, and spray trees and soil with Garrot Juice. To learn more on maintaining healthy trees, go to DirtDoctor.com.
All right, Howard, back with you. I don't know if we'll have time to get another call or two on there or not. If you want to jump on real quick here, we'll try 866-444-3478. Once again, if you want to join and be a part of our seminar that's coming up, it's January the 19th, you can do it online. I don't know that we got our homepage fixed yet. It's not quite fixed for some reason, but you can still go on to dirtdoctor.com, click on the either Ask Howard or the Organic Club of America there, and it tells you how to join, and you can see the details about the event that we have coming up. Those of you that are new listeners, a couple of things. We do a show that's 3 hours long. Some radio stations carry 1 hour, some two, some three. Some run the show in the afternoon, some at night, some during the day. It's run live here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, 11 to, 8 o'clock till 11 Dallas time. We write a column for the Dallas Morning News. You can see archives of that on dirtdoctor.com, but if you want to see the paper when it comes out, it's on Thursday's Dallas Morning News column. It's Organic Questions. Our Facebook is getting lots and lots more activity. It's sometimes a real easy place to go in and find something that I just talked about or some issue that we're really trying to make it easy for people to find. You can find it there on Facebook, and you can ask questions there and join in. A lot of people like the ease of that. Usually the website is a place where it's easy to find everything a little bit more than it is today with the forums, the chat rooms that are there. The library is where all the detailed information is on all kinds of subjects under in alphabetical order. The basic information is under guides. That's a button on the homepage, and that's where the basic organic program is that I'll be updating for this seminar that we have coming up, and all the formulas that I recommend: tree trunk goop, sick tree treatment, Garrot Juice, Garrot Juice Plus. All those kinds of things are right there on the site. The books that I have, and I've got quite a few, are talked about and listed for you there on the website. A lot of the information that's in the books is on the website, but sometimes the books are what people like to have for one reason or another, or use for gifts or that sort of thing. So a lot of information about this natural organic approach. If you have any questions or any comments or any problems or anything, you can send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. And one thing I haven't talked about very much this morning is that the free newsletter that goes out on a weekly basis is very easy to get. All you do is send us your email address. Send it to info@dirtdoctor.com. It's one subject at a time, all kinds of different things, and get a lot of response. Got a lot of people that take it and are also part of the Organic Club of America. So either way you want to go, love to have you on board and love to be able to help you. This natural organic approach works better in every way. You just have to give it a try. Sincerely give it a try, and you'll see how well it works. Richard in Colorado Springs is next up. Hey, Richard.
Hello, Mr. Garrett.
What's going on?
Well, we chipped up about 8 yards of branches last week and turned it into about 3 yards pile.
Okay.
And it's already smoking.
We've got
major gray fungus on the top 12 inches and a lot of white fungus going underneath that.
Good.
When can I use that for mix with my compost pile?
Immediately, anytime you want to.
Really, as long as it's degrading?
Yeah, you can put it in there when it's fresh, before it even starts to break down. But once you've got that beneficial fungus working and bacteria, you know, really starting to cook in there, that's a great time
to
go ahead and mix
it
in. You can actually
sleep on that pile at night. It's so warm.
Yeah, you can actually use it while it's breaking down like that if you put it out in real small layers. In other words, not anything thicker than about 3 inches. But if you leave it in a pile, it's going to continue to break down and cook. You must have had a lot of living tree trimmings in there and a lot of good protein and nitrogen in that mix.
Yes, we definitely did.
Yeah, no, that's great. That's great stuff.
I was just curious because I never really used wood for compost so much. But this stuff is breaking down so fast, I just figured, well, this must be good for something.
Well, the reason it's breaking down fast is that the protein and the buds and the green tissue in there combined with the brown stuff, you know, the dry wood and everything, which is carbon. You got the protein and the carbon. You got the really good balance in there, and that's why it's cooking so well for you.
All right, cool. Thanks
no problem much. In mixing it in.
Okie dokie.
Okay. Appreciate the call. Somebody just called and hung up again. I hope we're not having phone lines. If you didn't get in, if there was a problem there, there wasn't wherever, whatever. If you need questions answered during the week, just send it to us at info@dirtdoctor.com. Go to Facebook. You go to Facebook at Howard Garrett or the Dirt Doctor, either one. Get information there. If you've got something you want to let us know about, some event you want to promote, some new business, anybody that's in a related business, you know, we love to find out about it. Send us that information. We're spreading this this general natural organic information, letting people know the retail stores and the distributors where it's available. You know, that's all an important part of what we do. We're still a tiny little piece of the big puzzle out there. You know, the big boys are the Monsantos, the Scotts, the Roundups, all the synthetic stuff. They got the big money to tell you about it, and we have to work together to get the message out about our stuff. Enjoy your gardens, and don't forget to feed the birds.